And if you will turn over to page 3 in that Three Forms of Unity to Heidelberg Catechism, questions and numbers 3, 4, and 5, Lord's Day number 2. And let us read responsibly. I'll read the question. If you have it memorized, great. You can recite it from memory, and if not, let's read it. From where do you know your misery? The law of God. What does the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us in some Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Can you keep all this perfectly? No, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. So we are continuing on in reviewing the Heidelberg Catechism. Again, it's a teaching tool that was written to help believers in the land of the Palatinate. Frederick III was ruling and desired to have his people to know what the Bible teaches, summary of what the Bible teaches. And so this catechism was prepared. And in the, as we reviewed last week, the comfort that we find that the scriptures give us is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my only Savior. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the question was raised, well, what do you need to know in order to have that comfort? And the answer is three things: the greatness of my sin and misery, how I'm redeemed from all my sins and misery, and how I'm going to be thankful to God for such redemption. And so now we enter into that first point in more detail. So the question is asked, from where do you know your misery? And the answer is from the law of God. Now, in one sense, you could look at it in the sense of saying the commandments reveal to us our misery, our sin and misery. As Paul says, I didn't know sin until the law came, and when the law came, sin revived and I died. But also, in a sense, you could say, even an expanded version, other parts of Scripture, not only commandments, communicate the holiness of God and his dealings with sinful mankind. And so we know our misery both by precept, by command, and also by example of others from Adam on throughout the generations. And so we can learn of ourselves as well as we see that nature, that's in nature, as it says there in the next, in question number 5, I am prone by nature, the natural man, because of Adam, because of the fall, because of what I'm born in, I'm prone by nature to hate God. That's a pretty strong statement to make, to acknowledge that my sins are an expression of hatred of God. That is something that the natural man, the religious man in particular, the moralist, the self-righteous person, that's not something that they would naturally say of themselves, that I, by nature, hate God, and I, by nature, hate you. We excuse ourselves, we cover those kind of thoughts, we cover that kind of thing. And there it is, and right there in the catechism, laying it out. No. God says, God examines your heart. What does it say in Genesis? He examines the heart of mankind, and he finds that the thoughts of mankind are only evil all the day. So when God examines your heart, God examines your thoughts, his evaluation is they're only evil all the time. It's hard to take that statement, because we want to say, well, I'm not that bad. That's the natural man minimizes. Or we have a temptation, like with Adam and Eve, of saying, well, it's so-and-so's fault. God, it's the person that you gave me. Oh, it's what you created that caused me to sin. Oh, ultimately, it's your fault, God, that I have sinned. It's not my fault. We have a tendency to blame shift or to minimize. The scriptures don't allow us to do so. God doesn't allow us to do so. Just like a doctor who is treating a patient that has cancer has to go to the patient and say, you have cancer, in order for me to be able to perform a procedure or provide a solution to your problem, you first have to know you have a problem and the extent of the problem. And so God, in his word, by his spirit, shows us our need for a savior. And here we have summarized in the catechism. I am called to love you, God, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And I acknowledge that I cannot do this as you require, which is perfectly. For Jesus said that we are to be perfect as God is perfect. We are to perfectly fulfill God's commands. Have you done it? Can you do it? The answer is no and no. I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. That is why we needed Jesus to come, isn't it? Because he did fulfill what you and I can never fulfill, and that is the law of God perfectly. And he did that. He is our salvation because he is our righteousness. And because of his righteousness, we are righteous before God. If we believe by faith in Jesus Christ, right? That's the gospel. He not only took the punishment for our failure, but he also fulfilled what we could not do. And I'm saying something that you already know, hopefully, but it is a reminder. It's something we should remind ourselves daily. Part of our devotion should be to go back to the cross, to remind ourselves what Christ has done, to look at his life. He fulfilled everything that God requires of me, and he took the punishment for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. I believe. Please forgive me. I am forgiven. I thank you. And so it is a helpful thing. It is a healthy thing to examine ourselves in light of his law, in light of his word, and to confess our sins because they are forgiven in Christ. Amen.